أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. صل على محمد وعلى محمد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب المبين، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم وإن تنازعتم في الشيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. بليز رسالة الصلوات. We are discussing the design of a human being and how to resolve different issues. We talked about family issues. Now we are moving toward issues normally youth face. First we were thinking that we will talk about the youth social issues, but then we move on and decided to address those questions normally youth face when it comes to all those questions about religion. Like in couple of these majalis, we are going to discuss what's the benefit of religion. Then we're going to discuss why the religion is only for human being. Why it's not for animals and plants? What's the difference over there? We will discuss why in human is ashrafun makhluqat. Then we will move on and find out why we use this terminology like yadullah, aynullah, wajhullah. These are the terminologies sometimes Wahhabi use to accuse us that we do shirk. What's the meaning? And we will use the information, as I said, our base criteria is we will use the design information. And we discussed previously that any time we have a difficulty, we will follow a procedure. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الشَّيْءِ. If you have any difference of opinion about anything, فَرِدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. When you consult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, we decided that's the procedure we will follow. And the other people, they do the same. They go to the designer, support team, and we discuss like support team, the local authorized dealer, and all those things. So let's start the discussion. I need attention from the youth. I need to know, I need your help right now so we can start the discussion. What's the meaning of Yadullah? Anyone? What's the meaning of Yadullah? What's the meaning of Aynullah? Can someone help me? Anyone? Yad. What's the meaning of Yad? Hand. Yadullah? Hand of Allah. So whom do we call Yadullah? Imam Ali. Excellent. We call Imam Ali Yadullah. To whom we call Aynullah? Imam Ali. Aynullah, eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wajhullah, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you help me. There is a scenario in UK. You know, these days, there's this conflict going on in Syria, and now the media, they do say that it's a conflict between Shia and Sunni, or more appropriately, it's a conflict between Shia and Wahhabi. So school in UK decided they're gonna arrange a session and let Sunnis and Shia explain their religion. There come few guys from the Shia side and some of them from the Wahhabi side. Wahhabi came and they said, Shia, they do shirk. There's a guy from Shia side, Ali, he came forward and explained and said, we don't do shirk. That guy from Wahhabi side, Farooq, he said, no, they do. And one of the argument he brought up, he said, you call Imam Ali Yadullah. You call him Wajhullah. That's a shirk. So, how are we going to resolve? We have to help him. This guy Ali, he was smart. He says, he knew, he read that in the night, Peshawar night, he came back and said, look, your second caliph, Umar, he used to call Imam Ali, Wajhullah, and Yadullah. But then this guy, Farooq, he said, look, what is this? This is contradiction. At one side you said, Umar said, Amirul Mu'minin Yadullah, and now you ask me to accept this. But on the other side, the other thing that Umar did, you don't accept that. Like Tawabiyyah, or like they're praying, Umar said, pray like this. You set a criteria. Okay, fine. If you accept the other thing, I will accept your argument. Then since Umar said, Amirul Mu'minin Yadullah, we will accept him. Now this guy, Ali, was well prepared. He said, well, this Yadullah, Wajullah originally came from Prophet. And that's why Umar repeated that. It's not something Umar started it. Then he explained several instances why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Called him Yadullah, like the instance of this Khaybar. One of the brother yesterday, he asked me to recite Khaybar. I said, okay, I will inshallah recite Khaybar. That's why I'm mentioning Khaybar today. You know that in 7th of Hijrah, there was a battle of Khaybar, right? Where initially Imam Ali was sick and the other people went. They were the commander and then got in success. In the end, Imam Ali came and he led the army. He killed the warrior, Marhab. And then what he did, with his one hand, he broke the gate, the main gate of the fortress. And the people said, the narrations are like, this gate was huge, and people used to, like several people used to open that door, and he used just like one hand. So he explained to the audience. Audience says, are you sure? Is that right? Just with one hand? No, this is, remember, this is in UK, right? The audience is like a local guys over there. Now, this Farooq guy, he came forward and says, look, this is like a joke. On one side, they said, the Prophet and Aima, they are the role model. On the other side, they come up and they made these stories. Now, we have to help. We have to help Ali. What's our answer? Because then, we divided in like several groups. Some of them like says, yeah, Allah gave him a special power at that time. Then this guy says, okay, fine, then it means that role model is only for this side, not for the whole life of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Only like a specific side. And then this guy Farooq says, okay, now, wait a minute, you also say this thing about your ulama. Says, when? Yeah, like Ayatollah Bahjat. Like the other Ayatollahs. You said that they do extraordinary things. You remember from this member, you have heard this from Sayyid Abbas earlier. He mentioned that story that one of the alim from Yahud came visited one of our great alim in Iraq and objected. He said, what is this? I heard that you have a narration that ulama of Islam, they are like the prophets of Bani Israel. And this alim, he was working in his yard. He had some tool in his hand. He threw that tool and that turned into huge scorpion. That's the story. They said, look, you've made all of these stories, but this is true. How are we going to give the logic for this? Okay, fine, over there, it's Amir al-Mu'mineen. Over here, it's an alim. Then we used to go to Ayatollah Bahjat, ask him, Ayatollah, what's this, what you have, everything? You're going from here to there. Like, if one day you're in Qom, the very same way the people see you in the Mashhad. Is it some sort of a magic or what? People used to go to him and ask him, Ayatollah, give us some tricks too. And he would say, well, honestly, just do all the wajibat. Stay away from muhramat, all of them, do mustahabat, and stay away from makruhat. And people think, I don't know, we're doing the same thing. So let's find out. Let's find out what the reality is. So we don't see this problem. Please recite the salawat. For this and several other issues, if you be patient with me, I know this subject is a little bit complicated, but if you be patient with me, if you come with me in the design room and you understand the design of human, you probably from tomorrow, probably your prospect of the life will change. Now you will find out why I have to pray. Why I have to come in a majlis. Because I'm going to ask, and the kids, you have to write down this. I'm going to ask you tomorrow or day after tomorrow, why after 1400 years we still love Imam Ali? Why do we still love Imam Hussein? Like, I do hear this objection. Why do we commemorate these majalis after 1400 years? After 1400 years passed, right? Some of the Russian people, they said that, why don't you just give the blood to blood bank, give all this money, you spend all this energy after 1400 years, and our answer is, this is a symbol of Haqq and Batil. They say, okay. There are so many other people that killed as well. All these questions depend on this design. which we're going to discuss. We have to move, we have to come back to, we will come together in a design room. We said it previously, that the religion is a code for the human. So we need to understand the design of human in order to understand the code. It's not for all the creatures, because we see we have animals and plants, and they don't have any rules and regulation. They don't need to go to restroom to have a taharat. They don't need to pray. They don't need to fast. They don't do anything. Why just us? If we understand this difference, then we will understand the benefit of religion. We will find out it's not only for akhirat, and then we will find out why we. Why? Because the problem is, every time the benefit, something like after 10 years, we don't have this motivation to do that. Like, talk with the business people, the businessman, and he says, okay, I'm going to buy this and I will pay you after like 15 years. He's not interested, that much interested in the transaction. But if you say, buy it, I'm going to pay you right now cash, he will be very interested in the transaction. So let's see if the religion is only for hereafter, or it's benefiting me right now, right this second. We will find out all this by design, if we understand the design of human being. Please recite the salawat. And again, every time we have a question, we go to the engineering manual, we open the engineering manual, and here the design is started. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa laqad khalaqnal insana min sulalatin min teen. Laqad, for sure. The brothers who are from Iraq and Lebanon, they know when this lam and qad, this lam on qad, that's for sure, no doubt. Both of them, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, for sure we have created human. From which material you created us? مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينٍ, we have created him from the clay. Inshallah, one day if I have a time, I extract from the clay. سُلَالَةٌ مِنْ تِينٍ, they have a juice extract from the clay. You know, we are created by extract of clay. It's not only Adam got this. It's not only Hawa got this. You know, Allah put the juices all around the world. All these trees, plants, they are the juicer. They get the extract from the clay, turn them into fruit, leaves, vegetables. That extract is used, those plants, sometimes animals eat them, sometimes we eat them, and that turn to the next phase of human. So the first phase is, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ تِينٍ, we have created him from the extract, from the juice of teen. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةٍ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ, beautiful language. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ, then, ثُمَّ in Arabic, it's like there's a distance. There's after a while, not immediately. After a while, there is a period pass. Then what we did, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ, then we put that, فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا نُطْفَةٌ فِي, then we made it like a, this sperm, we put it in a safe place, فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the process in a very delicate, very nice way. No need to go in a detail. Allah knows that how that nutfa come and
go in the womb of mother. That's the qararul makin. That's the safest place. The way it's designed, the design is the safest way. That's why Allah said qararul makin, very stable place. Whatever Allah said, thumma khalaqan nutfa alaqa. And medical science proved all these things. Then we turn that nutfa into clot. فَخَلَقْنَاهُمْ أَلَقَ مُزْغَى. The next process, we change from that clot into lump of flesh. Next process. Next one step. Second step, third step. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُزْغَى إِذَانَا. Then this lump of flesh turn into bone. فَكَسَوْنَا الْإِذَامَ. Beautiful. He says kasawna. We basically what we did? We clothed the bone. The bones with flesh. فَكَسَوْنَا الْإِذَامَ لَحْمَا. We clothe this bone with flesh. Now here, the tone is changing. And here, our actual journey is starting. ثُمَّ. Again, there is a period. See, look over here. The first it says, have to look at the delicate, mean this, the nazakat of the Quran. Allah in the first place says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. There is a period. ثُمَّ. Whenever ثُمَّ comes, there is a period involved. Whenever فَا comes, it means maybe after a while, like this. And then all of them after ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَ, then فَا خَلَقْنَا, فَا. Then فَا خَلَقْنَا, then again فَا. But then in the end again, ثُمَّ أَنْشَانَاهُ خَلْقًا آخِرٍ. Then we turn this in another creation. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as soon as He did that, He immediately said, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Allah is the best creator. There is something happened in this stage that Allah immediately praised Himself. He says, what's the best design? What's the best? I'm the best designer. I'm the best designer. Please recite the salawat. So now you got this. Let me walk you through. This is the latest philosophical idea I'm giving you right now. I'm trying to give you the difficult, refined terminology in a simple word. When the first time this nutfa come into the womb of mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed one soul, one spirit called vegetative soul. The vegetative soul, ruhun nubati. That vegetative soul has a characteristic. The work of this vegetative soul is to give namu, rushd, growth, animalistic growth. As soon as this soul came, the nutfa is start turning alaka, alaka, muzga, that's growth, that's changing. In this stage, the three creations are same. Plants has the same process, they also get the vegetative soul, the animal also get the vegetative soul, the human also get the vegetative soul. At this layer, we are all together. Please pay attention, very important. At this stage, all of us together, no difference. Next step, after a while, the next step, next thumma. And here Allah breathed another spirit called animalistic spirit. Ruh-e-Hawani. In this level, we an animal moved one level up. Now we are better than plants. What this animalistic spirit does, it has characteristic. It has, it's called Quwwat-e-Shahwaniyah. It has Quwwat-e-Shahwaniyah wa Ghazabiyah. It has the force of attraction and force of repulsion. It move and attract the things needed, repel the things which are not needed, which is harmful for itself. This soul, now this thing, repel everything which is harmful for itself and attract everything like food, water, everything which is attractive, which is needed for the hayat of this soul, it attract them. That's what it's called, animalistic soul. Animal and human are common on this ground. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the third soul. And there it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ثُمَّ إِنْشَانَاهُ خَلْقًا آخِرٍ. That's where I created him, another creation. What that soul is? You have to go back again and find out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what that soul is. And that soul is going to resolve, that ayah is going to resolve several problems. We go to the another ayah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there said, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ. When I have made him, when I made him as a body, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. Then I breathed in my soul. And then in that ayah it says, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. At that time, now he has this ability that Malaika, he ordered Malaika, now this is the time that you do sajda in front of this creation. This is the soul. Now, what this soul is, this is the human soul. It's proven by philosophy. Just almost 250, 300 years ago, Mullah Sadra, he put up this idea of, he come up and mentioned, his technical term is, Jismaniyatul Huduth or Ruhaniyatul Baqa. He said that this Nafs-e-Insani, basically, start is like a body, and the end is Ruhaniyatul Baqa. It remains as Ruh later on. He come up with this theory, and this is the most popular theory out. Everyone accepted. Allama Tabatabai, every alif right now is accepted this one. Previously, the theory was something else. It was the Ruh was previously there. So now we know that human being has these three souls. Now, how it gonna resolve our problem about Yadullah and Allah? How it gonna resolve our problem of the need of the religion? How are you gonna find out, okay Maulana, what's your point? I understand human has these three souls and the last one is this one. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. I said, wait, I told you this second ayah will help. What did this Allah said? Allah said, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. This Ruhi is going to resolve our problem. He said, I breathed him my soul. What this Ruhi? You know, every time if you have something like, I have a kitab, in Arabic I put a small ya, I said kitabi, it might be my book. Right? That's the way it is. Ruhi, my soul. Now question, what that mean? What's the meaning of my soul? There are three possibilities. One of them, it's Allah's soul. And some people think, alright, so Allah has the same soul like we do. Because someone says, that's me. Like I say, badani, my body. So when Allah said, "Nafaqtu fihi min ruhi," I have breathed him, my soul. Is that mean it's Allah's soul? We know from aqaid that's not possible, because Allah is an unlimited being, and we are limited being. His la mahdood, his infinite, we are finite. There is no comparison. That's one possibility down. What's the second one? Second one, maybe he owned this soul, this spirit. Then objection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This body was your too. Everything was your too. Why don't you call, this is my body? Why do you just say, this is my soul? I breathe in my soul. Because of this objection, this part is also down. What's the third option left? There's another option left. I give you an example and then you will understand. And then you will understand what's the goal of our life, why Allah has created us. I'm going to give you, pay attention on this one. There is a discussion of bil quwwah and bil fi'l in philosophy. I'm going to put this in a simple terminology. I will put it as a capability and functionality. Capability and functionality. Remember this part. I'm giving you an example and you will understand. And then you will find out from tomorrow that why religion is important. Why I have to pray. Here, I'll give you an example. There is an apple seed. And there is an apple tree. There's an apple seed and apple tree. There is a dialogue going on between them. This apple tree claim, this is my tree. Apple tree claim, apple seed is mine. I say, wait a minute, you don't own him. Says, no. It's not as big as you are, no. What it is? He says, this seed has an attribute, has a capability to turn like me. This seed has a capacity to become an apple tree. That's why he said, I will say it to the orange seed, I will say it to the rice seed or anything else, they don't have a capacity to become like me. It's only apple seed has a capacity, capability to become like me. So the human has a capability to get the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the difference. And now let's see, is that true? Maybe, well, you have to prove it. You have to prove it. We need proof for everything. We need proof. We can't, maybe something else. Maybe the first meaning was right. Maybe the second meaning was right. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe there is a fourth meaning. Let's find out. Say, recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Feel hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi. You know there is a difference. Kids, are you paying attention? What's the difference between hadith al-Qudsi and hadith? Anyone? And whoever give an answer, please, I will request that they should get an extra point. Hadith al-Qudsi. There is a hadith and hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi and Quran. I need to know the difference between hadith al-Qudsi and Quran. Anyone? Hadith al-Qudsi and Quran. Both of them, yes.
I think hadith
al-Qudsi has a hadith and Quran tells the meaning of the life. Good. Good effort. Anyone else? Very nice, Mazia. Hadith al-Qudsi and Quran. The difference is, Quran are the word of, is like word of Allah, exact word of Allah, exact word revealed on the heart of Prophet. Exactly. Hadith al-Qudsi is like that mafhum, the concept, the thing is from Allah, used by the word of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used these words. That's why we differentiate them. So these are Allah's word, it's not Prophet's word. That's why they call hadith Qudsi. They differentiate with the other hadith. This is it's Qudsi, it's from Allah. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, please pay attention here. Now you will find out from tomorrow why Allah has created us. Why namaz? Why all these hardship? Why all those requirements? Allah said, Abdi. O my servant, O my Abd, it'ani, obey me, hatta aj'alka mithli, until I will make you like myself. Allah said, Abdi, it'ani, hatta aj'alka mithli. Do it, do ibadat, do my ibadat, until I will make you like myself. And then Allah explained, because someone thinks maybe we will become Allah. No. He's talking about attributes, not the essence and other things of Allah. Attributes. And then he explained, he knew that we're going to come across with this problem. He says, Ana hayy la amut. I'm the live one. I don't have a death. It'ini fima amartuka hatta aj'alka hayya. Obey me what I have ordered you until I will make you high. I will also make you high. This soul, when Allah make it high, it will stay alive forever. And then he also said, Akulu lishay. I do say for something, for things, kun. I just say kun. And what happened? Fayakun. It happened. And if you obey me, see the design where we have to go? What's our destination? This is our destination. Takun, you will say lishay for the thing. Kun, you will say kun. Fayakun, that thing will happen. See, Allah has proven this point. Allah has created you and me and all the human. That's why here we understand Ruhi. So you do all this process to get all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if this Umar, this Farooq, all those other brothers, all those Wahhabi, they will come forward and say, now you're going to tell them, this Yadullah is truth. Imam Ali reached to a point where definitely his hand become Yadullah. Meaning he got all those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His face turned to Wajhullah. His Ayn becomes to Aynullah. Please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It's not artificial. It's not imaginary. In reality. And now we know. Then we thought again, it may be only for masumin. I told you no. No. This is for human. That's why now you understand when these ulama, they say something and happened. You heard this story several times. An ordinary guy, an alim, but an ordinary, which was not very famous, walking in a Najaf, and one of the child start falling from the roof. Everybody is watching. And this guy, he just say like this. And that child stop. And start swirling, coming down to kill and pick this. Now all of a sudden everybody, they were like astonished right now. What's happened? How did you do that? He simply said, all my life, whatever Allah said, I obey. This time, I said I ask from Allah, He obeyed. There was a story, I'm going to tell you, this is like about 50-60 years ago. Atilla Isfahani, he used to be in the Najaf,
And this guy who's narrating is saying, we used to go, and you know, this is a tradition in Najaf, that on the day of Thursday, they basically go towards Karbala. Sometimes the Tulab, they walk towards Karbala. So they say, we were, as usual, on Thursday morning, we start walking. Again, it's a 50, 60 years ago. We were walking, and we knew that one place has a water. Something happened, we lose the water, we didn't have water. And we were expecting that this particular place has a well. We were very thirsty. We reached there and then found the well is closed. Something happened and they put the trash and closed that. We were very thirsty. Says, what should we do? We were walking a little bit and we were like very, very in a bad hall with this is. And then Ayatollah Isfahani, he was walking with us, praying something, and then all of a sudden he says, why are you so unhappy? Go behind this little bit. There was like So go behind that, there is a pond, go get the water from there. We looked at him and said, ran, because we were like thirsty. We went there was a pond, a small pond. We drank the water, it's so sweet. So sweet. Cold. This guy is narrating, he says, it was hot and I was thirsty. I drank the water and then I had this kaffir on Jeffy with me. I drowned it and poured in the water and poured on my head. And now we are walking again. And now I got my senses back and then I a little bit walked and then I said, wait a minute. I walked on this side so many times, never saw this pond. I told my guys, wait a minute, I'm coming. He ran there, he came back over there, saw there's no pond. Now he says that water is still dripping from there. I'm not dreaming. He came back with Ayatollah Isfahani and says, Agha, there's no pond over there. He says, the guy, he was just reciting something. He said, you asked me to drink. Now forget it. You drank? You're okay? So that's what it is. That human soul has a power that we improve it, it will go and gain all most of those attributes. Please recite the salawat. And again, do not think it's very strange we are talking. You know, these yogis, right? And you probably heard about that some of those yogis came in the time of Imam and they say we can do this. Sometimes you find out that in the India they have these yogis and they do strange things. One of my teacher who told me this story, his teacher, he had this experience. So what I'm going to tell you first, sometime this quality is in, there are two laws in this universe. One of them is called the legislative laws, the other one is called the existential laws. This rule is from the existential law. We are in Takween, this thing happened. What it is, that in a non-Muslim, if he tuned his soul, he can get some attributes. And that's what this yogi does. What they do, they suffer their body, they eat less, they eat special things so they don't feel, they don't die. And then they get these attributes. So this teacher of my teacher, he mentioned that once he had come across with this head of this, in Farsi they call Hindi Murtaz, it was a head of that person. He says, I went visited him. He says, I asked him, what do you do? He says, I have this capability that I can control other soul.
And this is proven in philosophy that sometimes the soul becomes so strong that controls the other. And all this telepathy and everything is basically verified by philosophy and again Muslim philosopher as well. So they say, he said, I do something, let me show you. He says, what can you do? He says, look, he opened a window and see the people are walking on this side. That was like a four-way. He says, look, there is a four-way. These people are moving like in the right side. I'm going to close the eyes and you see this. They will stop by going on the right side. They all start going on the left side. And he did that. He controlled them and all of them start moving on the left side. Then he opened the eyes. He says, now I'm going to move all of them on the right side. He closed his eyes. I'm saying, not every can, someone who basically really go through these years of riyazat, he get this. Not everyone. There are lots of fake guys too. So he says, he moved them on the right side. Then he said, can I be with you? He says, okay. Okay, listen. He says, look, I'm closing your eyes. Now you move. He said, I have an option to go forward, right side, left side, backward. He says, I closed 3 ways. You have only option to move on one side. He said, I tried to go on the right side. I can't. I tried to go on the left side. I can't. I tried to go on a forward. I can't. It's easy. I can. So anyway, this guy, he says, okay, release me. He did release him. This guy knew some zikr. He recited the zikr. He says, now do it. Now do it. He tried again, and now he moved right, he moved left, he moved forward, he moved backward. Now this guy got astonished. You broke my riyazat? How come that's possible? What did you recite? This teacher of mine, he said, I'm not going to tell you until you be Muslim. He said, I'm not going to be Muslim, so I'm not going to tell you. So what I'm telling you right now, the human soul, the thing is here, the human soul has a capability to acquire the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are conditions. Please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Please recite any of the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we all the time have 3 souls. Vegetative soul, animalistic soul, and this 3rd soul. And the religions came to help this soul. To help this soul. Why? Because the other soul, let's see the characteristics of the other soul, especially the animalistic soul. Animalistic soul, as I mentioned, has in philosophy they call it kuwe-razabiye or kuwe-shahwaniye. Look, in all the animals they do have these attributes. They have force of attraction and force of imagination. There is a 3rd force as well. It's called the force of attraction, force of repulsion. The 3rd force called force of imagination. It also imagines. Only that's part of the other soul. But the 2 main characteristics of the souls is force of attraction and force of repulsion. This force of attraction, Allah gave these forces for the survival of the human. Why? I can give you an example so you understand what this force of attractions mean. Every time there is nothing in my stomach, this force of attraction start crying. Get me the food. It's basically the magnet started and says, let me attract something. Everything is ready to do this thing. This is important. I'm going to discuss this because I'm going to discuss that human has the input devices, how those input devices get corrupted. I'm going to tell you. So just keep this in mind that human basically has attractive forces. It's attracting things like, for example, food, for water, and all those things which is needed for this soul or for this body or for the race of this body. It has attractions toward them. See, this is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those things which are needed for our body, we have the taste for them. Look at the animals. They have the taste for the things which are needed for their body. You present this biryani to cockroach. Cockroach says, "I don't want it." For me, that dead pays. Like the ant, they come. They say, "There's a dead cockroach." I say, "This is a dead cockroach." He says, "For me, this is tasty because that's my work. That's my job. That's my survival." The human, they also have. They put Allah put this all this attraction and put the repulsions. This repulsion, anytime I'm sitting, a mosquito come and I immediately go automatically and try to repel. If anything goes and something which is not needed for my body in my stomach, my body vomit it out. You have something viral or something goes inside, body repel and have a fever. The force of attraction, force of repulsion inside all the time. That make you go, force you to go sleep, that may force you to go marriage, that make you force eat, drink, all those things. Your survival depend on these forces. But these forces were there for a limited job. This soul is not supposed to rule. I'm going to discuss, whenever there are like a three different teams in a corporation, one has to be head. Who's going to manage the other? Yes, that's what's going on in our body. Who is going to manage this human? Please recite a salawat. So now we got the basic idea. The religion is something like, as I said, that you can always imagine the human soul as, always take an example of this apple seed. This apple seed has a capability. It's not going to go automatically become the apple tree. You have to put this apple seed under the soil. You have to give it water. You have to have a sunshine. Then it goes through a time and then become apple tree. Same thing. Human soul need water. Human soul need soil, fertilizers. Human soul need sunshine. And all these ibadat, all these azadaris, they are the water for the soul. They are the soil for the soul. They are the fertilizer for the soul. They are the one which will turn the seed into tree. They are the one which is going to turn this soul, get the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, because he was abd. That's why he reached to a position that he, this capabilities turn into functionality. Now it's functional. He has this power, he acquired that. Attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he used his finger. Prophet Muhammad used his finger and divided. See, you have to understand the miracle. Miracle is not something comes from outside. Hazrat Musa's hand become Yadullah, then he basically throw something and then become something else. This finger got something. Otherwise the same asa, someone else throw, nothing going to happen. It's not asa, it's Musa's hand. Please recite the salawat. Inshallah, I'm not going to take you more time because it's like when time goes more, then you can't pay attention. So let's move forward here. Inshallah, the rest of the question we will address tomorrow. We'll continue this discussion. Let's say our salam to Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka يا ابن رسول الله يا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيما. Brothers and sisters, This family is a Kareem family. If we say salam to them, they reply. Everything we do for them, they pay back. The brother of an alim died. They buried him in a nearby graveyard. After a few nights, after a few days, this alim saw a dream. He saw that his brother is in a bad condition. He was extremely unhappy. He woke up and was unhappy. He prayed for him. After a week or two, he saw him again in his dream. And this time, he was surprised. His brother was very happy. He said that I asked him, what happened that your situation got changed? This person told him that there was like last night, there was a lady die and she got buried in this graveyard. And after that, they stopped giving us azab. He asked, who's this lady? He said that she is the wife of Ahangar Ashraf. Ahangar, blacksmith. Blacksmith Ashraf's wife. So he asked, what did she do? He says, I don't know. But all I know, she's very important. Because since last night, three times, Abu Abdullah has visited her. Ya Abu Abdullah. This guy woke up. He went to the area where there were shops of blacksmiths. He saw that one of the shop was closed. He asked a guy who owned this shop. He says that this shop is Ashraf blacksmith shop. He says where he is. He says his wife dies. That's why he's not here today. So he says I found out the address and I went to his house. I visited him. I sat down over there, did taziyat with him. When everybody left, I asked him, can I ask a question? He says, okay, go ahead. He says, did your wife visit Karbala? This guy said, no, she had a wish, but we never had a money, so she never visited Karbala. Then I asked, whether she was a Marcia Khan, she was like reciting something for Imam. He says, no, she was not doing that. She was illiterate. Then this guy was curious. He says, why are you asking about my wife? What's wrong? I told him my dream. He stay quiet for a minute and then says, that's a true dream. He says, why? What's your wife used to do? He says that my wife, she has a habit with sincerity after every Fajr prayer, she used to go outside under the sky and she has just moved herself towards Qibla and three times she used to say, As-salamu alayka ya Abdullah. She just used to say that. But these people were so kareem. They're so kareem, they give back everything, whatever you give to them. Today I'm going to tell you the story of a shaheed. He was a shaheed-ishq. See, in the Karbala, or for the caravan of Karbala, there were two shaheed. They had access to water, but they didn't drink them. So one of them was Muslim ibn Aqil. He was first one from Ahlul Bayt. Although he was the first shaheed of this caravan of love,
But he was like the first of the Ahlul Bayt. In Bihar Lanwar, there is a riwayat. Sheikh Al-Sudur narrated this riwayat from Ibn Abbas. He said that once Imam Ali asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi that do you like my brother Aqil? Do you love him? And Prophet Muhammad said, yes, I do love Aqil. And there are two reasons why I love him. One of them is that because Abu Talib used to love him, my uncle used to love him. And I love my uncle, that's why I love Aqil. And the second reason I love him, because his son will get killed for the love of your son, Hussein. And later on, Mu'min will cry for him, and the Malaika, they will send durood for him. So when Imam was in Mecca and the letter started coming, thousands of letters came, and the letter was saying, Imam, you have to come to Kufa. You have to lead us. If you are not going to come, you will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. Now Imam reached to a point where he said, Muslim, go to Kufa. Go to Kufa and check the situation over there and report back me. Hazrat Muslim left. First he left from Mecca towards Medina. He came to Medina to visit, did ziyarat with Prophet, Holy Prophet's grave, farewell with his family. That too died for Kufa, and then started the journey. Unfortunately, on the way back, on the way over there, they lost. These two guides got killed because of the thirst. Somehow, Muslim got saved. He went to a tribe. From there he wrote a letter to Imam Hussein and explained what's happened. And he asked him whether I need to continue my journey or should I come back. Imam replied, you continue this journey. Muslim reached to Kufa. Now Muslim in Kufa, people came, did dua with him. I'm going to show this. There are like 18,000 people in Istar, the bear with Muslims. Here Muslim wrote a letter for Imam. Imam, the situation is good, you can come here. And after a week or few days, the situation changed. This Ubaidullah ibn Riyad came with conspiracy, with force. He changed the situation. And there's a long story, you know that. This thing, battle happened within Kufa, a long battle. And after a while, they captured Muslim. Now Muslim is being captured. They brought the Muslim in the Amara. Now Muslim is thirsty. Muslim is thirsty. He asked for water. He brought a water in a cup. He tried to drink the water. The blood of his mouth fell in the water. He asked to change the water. They changed the water. He tried to drink again. Again, the blood fell in the water. Now he understands he has to die thirsty. See, this is Ish. This is al-Ilahi examination. Allah knew that Imam will go die thirsty. How can a lover and a beloved have a different fate? There, Muslim, basically, they said, go kill Muslim. Muslim did wasiyat to Umar Saad, ask him to send someone towards Imam and ask him not to come here. And then at that time, their tear appears in Muslim's eye. Someone approached, is he Muslim? I thought you were one of the bravest of Bani Hashim. You're crying? Muslim said, I'm not crying for myself, I'm crying for Hussein, who is
is coming from the women and children. They brought him to the roof of Dar Amara. They took him over there. Now Jallad, he wants to cut, he wants to kill Muslim. Muslim turned his face toward Mecca and started doing salam, as-salamu alayhi wa rahmatullah. Oh, rahmatullah, accept my last salam. When people see, in the day of Ashura, before Imam got shaheed, one time Imam turned his face toward Kufa and said, As-salamu alayka ya Muslim ibn Aqil. Imam said to Muslim, O Muslim, you remembered us in your last time. You showed your love for us. Now it's our time that we have to do salam to you. We have to show our love to you. Ala la'natullahi wa ala al-qawmi al-zalimin wa sa'alamu al-lazina ayyuka munkalibu. Matam al-Husayn.
All right.